On this episode of the Sofa King podcast, we talk about independent films with our special guest, Ricky Bird from Hectic Films. We talk about what it takes to make indie films, the tricks of filming on a budget, and how to make a small movie get recognized amongst major studio productions. If you're curious about how to make a film in which a naked girl kills zombies, listen to our guest, Ricky, as we ask Brad to drop that funky intro.
Please, read from sheets. I am. Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am. Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
Not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
Retard.
You say funny thing.
So we're here on another episode of the Sofa King podcast.
The best in the business.
Yep. World famous, if you didn't know. And we have another guest today, and he is, who are you?
Ricky Bird.
Ricky Bird with Hectic Films wandered into the studio. He stumbled down the Fight Club basement stairs and fucking found his way to a mic.
It's like 100 balls down here. It's pretty nasty and
it's
hot.
It's not that hot.
Maybe it's the fucking drugs you're on. I guess.
What do you think of our studio?
Oh, it's amazing. I love it.
That's funny because one of the other guys said it looked like shit that we had on. So.
There's a lot of history here. It looks, you know, it's interesting.
I think it's cool, but I mean, I know I got some robot clutter and some craziness down here, but I think the stone walls and everything's pretty cool. This building's from like maybe 1895, 1905.
Yeah, and I really like Bakersfield history, and I love going downtown and being under these buildings, even if it's not really well maintained or has AC.
What are you trying to say?
Yeah.
I pointed the fan. Let me tell you all the shit
that's fucked up about it.
I just want to make sure that all of our families always know that we're recording when we're recording, because if there's ever an earthquake, they're going to need to come down here and dig our asses out.
Yeah. Or we might be the ones that are safe. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's true.
No, this whole motherfucker's coming down on top
of
us.
Yeah, I don't trust them old ass beams. Be like, fucking first thing that we'd see is it bending and bowing, and we'd be fucked.
We're all gonna sit in that stone room right there.
Yeah. San Andreas, they had a scene in Bakersfield.
Oh, really?
Did you see that?
Yeah, somebody said that.
Yeah, there was a shopping mall they crash a helicopter into. So
was it East Hills? They just got it over with.
Actually, it was nowhere in Bakersfield. They just said, "Where are we flying over?" Oh, that's Bakersfield. And then
I always wonder who makes that decision. They're like, "Let's mention Bakersfield right here in the script," because it happens in like every new movie.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of. I was watching some TV show, and it was like the Bakersfield Highway 99 or the Highway 99 killer, and he was in Bakersfield or something. You know, it was like some strange. thing.
Since we're blowing up Bakersfield right now, my two favorite moments were there was that movie with Jennifer Lopez and somebody else called The Cell.
Yeah.
And it was about a serial killer doing all this weird virtual reality shit. And they were like trying to find where the killer was holding this girl. And that was the whole challenge. And we were in the theater watching it. And like they kept showing all this outside footage, and like some guy was just being a loud ass and kept saying that looks like Bakersfield, because every time they'd show where the serial, and he just kept saying, "This looks like Bakersfield." He said three different times in the movie, he was like, "Hey, dumbass, I think they're in Bakersfield." And then towards the end of the movie, they were like, "Oh, they're in Bakersfield." And we all fucking lost it.
Or the famous Castaway scene where the shithouse Andy Gump floats up. Yeah. And of course, like, oh, shit, it's Bakersfield.
That's my favorite ever. Castaway, Tom Hanks is stuck on the island, a porta potty washes up, Bakersfield.
And
then that's how he gets away, is with a Bakersfield shitter.
Yeah. Bakersfield saving the day.
Right. We're like the fucking joke of California.
Mm-hmm. Apparently.
Yeah.
What? I think they do it to poke fun, like, aha, fuck you, Bakersfield. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, what's a piece of shit? You know?
You're so close to LA, but just not close enough.
Because when I go to film festivals, they're like, where are you from? I'm going to go, Bakersfield. They're like, oh, wow, they do films and stuff there? Like, they just think that.
Yeah, we sit around on a porch.
Well, I mean, think about it. You also have Clueless, that show Clueless, the TV show. She moved to Bakersfield, and it's like this huge farm Community or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah, the Clueless TV show. And then you have Green Acres. You know,
that's, yeah.
That's from here.
Yeah. They had Running Man. Arnold Schwarzenegger was the butcher of Bakersfield.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The bad guy was there.
And it's in Transmorphers. I don't know if you know this. One of the greatest movies of all time.
That movie
blows
is
Michael Bay.
Horrible.
It's Transmorphers 2. Thank you.
It's fake Transmorphers.
I've got it tattooed on my back.
No, you don't.
Transmorphers 2.
No, you don't.
Transmorphers 2. That's pretty awesome.
But the,
I haven't
the
seen
starting
it.
Scene, the sheriff's in Bakersfield. And I think it even has a sign that says Los Angeles behind him, but they, you know, that's how cheap those movies are.
Wow. That's
the
funny.
Hollywood signs behind him. He's like, yeah, I'm Bakersfield
right now.
So my question is Transmorphers actually worse than Transformers?
I personally hate all the Transformer movies.
As do I.
So I would say I would rather someone put my balls in a bear trap and watch Transmorphers 300 times backwards than sit through a bunch of Michael Bay bullshit where like robots are jumping through buildings for 2 hours for no fucking reason.
I have to at least give them credit though that they got the OG Optimus Prime.
Yeah, that's the only part that's
tight. The coolest part.
That's the only reason I went to the theater and sat through all that bullshit so I could see him riding the dinosaur.
And I do have a small Transformer claim to fame. It's not really my claim to fame, but my friend who does Call of Duty, who works in the video game industry and does sound, he got hired to do the sound for the Transformers game that when the first Transformers movie was coming out, he got hired to do the voiceovers and handle all the sound. And he told everybody, like, if we're making this video game, we need the original Optimus Prime's voice because everybody's going to buy it because that guy's doing it. But he wasn't doing the movie.
Really?
He wasn't doing, they had hired some dude to play Optimus Prime. But then when the video game studio, because my friend Chris just called the dude and was like, hey, do you want to do Optimus Prime? He was like, hell yeah. And he came in and did it. And then studio execs heard him doing it on the video game. And they're like, okay, no, we have to have him play Optimus.
That's like the multi-million dollar decision right there.
Yeah, that's the voice. You can't. I mean, that's what sucked about the Ninja Turtles, too. Like, they weren't their voices.
Voices were different, yeah.
I mean, how'd you go from, like, the stoner, you know, surfer Michelangelo to, like, some, like, teenage...
I didn't watch it. I couldn't do it.
Fucking hipsters.
They were giant. Yeah. Those Ninja Turtles were huge and scary.
Well, I just didn't like how... I don't know. They just were really scary, and they were... It was like they were, like, a hip-hop group as opposed to... You know what I mean? Like,
that's
because
50 Cent fucking did the movie.
Well, don't forget that the original part two of the Teenage Ninja Turtles movies, the soundtrack was done by none other than Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice, yeah. But they were still true to the cartoon.
That's true.
Go Ninja is probably, you know.
Go Ninja, Go.
Well, it's a huge part of my childhood, Dave.
Too, though, like, you know, as growing up, we watched the Ninja Turtles. Now, kids had never seen the Ninja Turtles, so they just, that's what they know.
Well, and that's part of my thing with having a 15-year-old son, because, of course, he knows everything when he's 15, you know?
Right.
And
you're fucking wrong.
Yeah, he's like, oh, well, the Ninja Turtles talk like this. And I'm like, no, son, you know, you need to look at this stuff, you know. But I forget sometimes, like, when we're talking about, you know, like, back in our day kind of thing, I feel like that old man.
Oh, yeah.
But I was like, do you realize the struggle? It's like, you know, I had to jack off to bra ads. You know what I'm saying? And you've got, like, all this. You've got at your fingertips. You could go in the bathroom and pull up, you know, you porn on your iPhone, and you'd rub one off, and people think you're taking a crap, you know?
Yeah, so much easier. Yeah. Accessibility.
So, I mean, don't tell me about what the fuck you think Ninja Turtles are supposed to sound like. You know what I mean?
That's the ultimate 2015 version of when I was young, I used to have to walk to school in the snow. It's like my dad would like always rail on me. He was like, when I was 16, I was shooting people in Korea. And like we get to say, when I was 15, I was masturbating to bras.
Yeah. The struggle is real, Dave. The struggle. I had to save them under my bed. I'd be like, oh, that's a good one. I'll use that one for later. It was like making deposits in the spank bank. You know what I'm saying?
Save it. Yep. Yeah. I don't know. I think we all. Where's your favorite hiding spot? Was it under the bed? That
I
was
just
it?
Did under the, it. Well, you know, you have the mattress and the box spring.
Yeah.
It's genius. No one ever looks there unless they're looking for money or drugs. And when you're, you know, 12 years old, you know.
Yeah, they're not looking for that.
They're not looking for that yet. Yeah. You know.
I just don't understand why Rocksteady and Bebop never got any love.
That's, yeah. What,
they made those other weird things, yeah. Whatever those were.
Yeah, that like turtle head.
Yeah, is there like.
That's because some asshole grew up and never watched the Ninja Turtles. He grew up in the 90s and then fucking like made some bullshit Ninja Turtles where.
Or does someone have like private rights to Rocksteady and Bebop? Like, is that name coined or something?
Well, and then the big thing was, is where's Krang at? You know, the little bro in the body?
Like, he could have done something cool with that.
And dude, if you watch the. This spoiler alert. Real quick, sorry.
Is it for an old movie?
Yeah.
No. Spoiler alert for 15-year-old movie, guys.
No, for Ninja Turtles, the new one.
Oh.
Doesn't it seem like they basically fight a Transformer with Shredder? Isn't it like they're like, oh, we've got all this extra CGI bullshit. Let's just make it. Let's change his head and make it Shredder.
Well, wasn't it Michael Bay, though?
Yeah, it was Michael Bay.
I thought that's why.
But Michael Bay has also been known for using clips in multiple movies. I don't know if you've seen that on YouTube. He'll shoot something in one movie like The Island, which is probably Michael Bay's best movie, The Island. I love that.
That was a good movie, yeah.
That was a good movie.
What's that movie about?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, that
can't say too much.
Where he goes on
the island. The island is the one with Ewan McGregor and where they are their clones. You're thinking of the beach.
I wasn't thinking of the beach. Messed up.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I know the beach. I like that movie.
Yeah,
yeah. It's not that one. It gets all video game and
he turns into fucking Mario Brothers. Like, and he starts running through the forest.
Yeah, this one's the clone one with.
No, that was a good movie.
Yeah,
I'm very surprised to learn that was Michael Bay.
Yeah, it was Michael Bay. That's where a lot of his director, because he's really good at action movies. I'll give him that. He actually has a car with cameras on it that he drives through the scenes that he's actually driving with monitors.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Which it kind of is like. It's on the fence, like teetering to douchebag lifted truck drinking monsters.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, whoa, bro, check out my, you know, rail car with my flat screens. And yeah, let's go pound some monsters.
I saw a guy pull up with a monster in a truck this morning to the podcast.
Really?
It was you, sir. You have a monster in your hand and you pulled up
a
truck.
It's a rock star.
Oh.
It's a monster. Two different things.
Is that how it works?
You fucking asshole.
Yeah, I need a little pick-me-up. I didn't go to bed till 4, so I was like...
So we've been shit-talking Michael Bay, rightly so. But on the exact, like the furthest opposite end of the spectrum of Michael Bay, we start to get into independent filmmaking.
Yeah.
Which is one of the main reasons we wanted to have you on is because you are an independent filmmaker. So what are some of the films that you've done and where can people find them?
I did a movie called Star Wars.
That was you.
I got
indie,
you guys.
Little indie
pulling fast ones on you.
It's just spelled different.
You had me. I never fucking saw it. So I believe you.
It gets me laid right now at the bars.
Yeah.
They're like, you're George Lucas? I thought he was older. Yeah, don't worry about it. Don't look him up on Google. Don't do it. So
that's the old me.
Yeah. This is the new reinvented me.
They fucking froze me and now I'm back to normal.
I'm the special edition re-release of George Lucas.
I had to come out and say I want to be a fat ginger that's going bald. So I'm like the Bruce Jenner of lame 32-year-olds.
Yeah. He's the Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, my name is Ricky. No, I've been shooting videos for a long time, over a decade.
Yeah.
And you'd think I'd be better at it by now, but you know, it is what it is. So I've done a few features. One was shot right across the street and actually shows Dagny's right here.
Oh, nice.
It's called The Lackey.
And you Dagny's can buy that is on the Amazon. Coffee shop right across the street.
Yeah. And it was filmed in Sandrini's, which those guys are amazing. They let us shoot there for free.
Oh, that's cool.
And we have a lot of like important scenes there. Plus, in the movie, there's a pair of tits that are shown in the smoking room. And after going to Dagny's forever and being a smoker at the time, that was like my favorite. I mean, not Dagny's, Sandrini's. That was my favorite place to go to, you know, smoke. And then all of a sudden I'm filming tits in there. It was like a dream come true.
While you're smoking, yeah. Of course.
Then we did a film for 24 hours called mm-hmm. Deadlines. We shot it all in 24 hours. That was actually my friend Jason and our other buddy Blake. But I got to act in that one because I act as well. And then we've done a lot of, we used to do a web series before they were cool. And it was called Buns, which there's actually 20 episodes online. You can still watch it, but it's all making fun of Bakersfield and current events and stuff. A lot of Ed Jagel jokes, if you know.
Jagel.
Yeah. Old Ed Jangles. Yeah.
I forgot about him.
Yeah. So did his wife. Popping those pills.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
My personal favorite is Snack to the Future.
Yeah.
Yeah, he showed me that right before you came in. That's pretty good.
My favorite video out of all of them I've done is Beer Toss.
I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
And then I also did one called Blind Girlfriend.
I watched it before you got here, yeah.
I like that one because it's, you know, pretty, I got a lot of hate mail off that one.
I bet.
Yeah, well, yeah, anytime you're beating a blind chick and then lying to her about it, you know. that's going to get you some hate mail.
That could generate hate mail. Yeah. And then what's up with Naked Zombie Girl? He's the first, by the way, for all future guests on the podcast, this is our first guest who showed up with awesome swag to give us.
Yeah.
So I'm mentioning that specifically so that if we do book you on the show, you understand a precedent has been set to bring cool shit that we get to take home with us.
Yes.
So you brought us a comic book of Naked Zombie Girl.
And let me make it awesome. Yeah, and let me make a point. We had a comic book creator on here and he showed us a comic book. And then we have a movie
and he kept
producer,
it.
Director, actor, and he brung us a comic book. So.
That's true.
Yes, it's stepping up the game.
Yeah.
So fuck you, Zach. That's what I'm trying to get at.
He tricked you guys. He just handed out promo shit. That was a giant business card in the form of a present.
That's right. Why it's better than ours.
And you're all, thank you.
That's why I said, I hope you like coffee because you're getting a fucking coffee mug.
Hell yeah. Yeah. In the face.
So what led to Naked Zombie Girl? Like, how'd you get that?
Printed and
formatted.
Let's be honest. We're all men here. Mm-hmm. Do you guys like zombie movies?
Here comes the girl hate.
Yeah, we did a zombie episode.
Do you guys like naked chicks?
No.
No. Well, Brent's gay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sorry.
Well, there's
nothing wrong with that, sir.
There's nothing wrong with that.
For your wives, do you appreciate attractive women?
Absolutely.
Okay. So we figured we'd do a gimmick movie where we included all those things. And we actually came up with the idea on a set of Trespass to Terror, which has just got accepted into the Action On Film Festival. Movie shot in Fresno by Willie Ortolabe. I can't say his last
name.
That
is rough, yeah.
That is
rough. But it's on Facebook, Trespass to Terror. Check it out. Written by D.T. Carney. Great movie. Anyway, we were on that set, and I was talking to actress Megan Chidane if she would be interested in being naked in
a zombie movie killer.
So there's a long story about it, but basically in a nutshell we were joking around what would be the most awesome zombie movie ever, and that would be a chick naked killing zombies with a chainsaw. You know what I mean? And then you hit that peak of totally awesomeness and you can't go any further.
Well, what I liked about it was it's very, if you go into the movie thinking it's going to be like a scripted movie, you're in the wrong place. The movie, what I liked about it was the fact that, you know, you think naked zombie girl, like she got naked somehow, but no. She just decides to go naked. Like that's the funny part. And there's no story behind it. Like you just have to watch it. And she's like, fuck it, there's some zombies. I'm gonna take my clothes off. You know? Fucking chainsaw these bitches.
Well, and you can't take the movie too seriously. It's supposed to be a fun movie.
Right.
And it's a short.
Yeah, and it's a short dedicated to, you know, 70s grindhouse and shit like that.
And I give you credit for that because it really did have that grindhouse feel. Like it really felt like a kind of like Rob Zombie tries to do with his movies, you know, like it really felt that way. And with your guys' budget, I'm assuming not close to Rob Zombie's, you guys pulled that off. So, you know, that's kudos to you guys.
Yeah,
kudos.
Thanks, Brad.
So you guys sold a movie, right? Was it Lackey?
Yeah.
You were able to do that? I mean, that's an accomplishment, right? Is that the goal? That's the goal.
Yeah. But no one wants to buy our shit. No, I'm just joking. We haven't came up with another feature to sell yet. We're gonna go through that whole process with Border Brothers.
Right.
Another feature I should.
What is the do you have to screen somewhere? Do you have to what is the process of getting an indie? Because I'm sure some of the people listening are like toying with the idea of making indie films.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people do, but I don't think anyone really knows how to pull that off or what to do with an end product. If your goal is to try to monetize it, that becomes tricky. Like, what is that process for you? Like, what do you have to go through?
Basically, you just have to, obviously shoot the film. And then once you shoot it and you have that film and it's where you want it to be, then you enter it in film festivals to try to increase the value and get it out there so people can see. And then, you can either try to sell it to a distributor, like at the American Film Market, which is usually in November in, I think, Burbank, or I'm terrible with that, but you can look it up. It's the American Film Market.
Mm-hmm.
And basically you can go pitch your film there and try to sell it. But it's really, it just depends on what you want to do. It's kind of like a piece of property. If you want to rent it out, you can make money and continuous, but you got to maintain it. Or you could just sell it right off and you don't have to worry about it. You just get a lump sum right out the gate.
Now fund your next, your next project.
And we do the, what I like to call the Walt Disney, because I'm a real big Walt Disney fan, the actual guy, not the, corporation shitty company. Is we make money to make more movies. So whereas, we try to, that's why I try to hang on to like the short films, like Naked Zombie Girl, for example, is, available to rent or download on VHX.com. So that money goes to fund the next short film, like our next one, which is super top secret, but I'll tell you guys, it's called Machine Gun Baby. And it's basically about a baby that
with a machine gun.
Just for the record, it's no longer super top secret.
Yeah. So it's
bag.
About a baby that escapes his abortion, comes back for revenge. So it's but the baby talks like a grown ass man, and it's a puppet.
Oh wow!
So it's a puppet baby.
And I see Oscars in your future. There's Academy Awards written all over that.
So that's actually pretty funny. I'm interested already.
I'm assuming you were somewhat influenced by Troma.
I am a Troma fan. I just donated to one of their movies on Kickstarter. I'm not a huge Troma fan. I think they should step their game up a little bit. You know what I mean? But that's what they're known for. So they found their audience and they're working with it.
Right.
I feel like I consider myself to be like kind of on that realm, but a little bit higher quality. Not saying that I'm better at it, but I just I pay more attention. I'm real anal about certain things, like in Naked Zombie Girl. Even though the movie feels cheesy, we spent a lot of time on the makeup, figuring it out, getting contacts, putting the money into where it was needed, not having a bunch of, so that makes it to where we don't spend our money on people. We put all our money into that makeup. You know what I mean? So then that means I've got to hold a square light with a camera, and my other buddy filming as well. And we're just grabbing all these shots instead of having, five extra bodies on set.
And I think that's one thing that people don't understand either behind the scenes, as far as like, whether it be making music or making a movie, you don't have to have this crazy recording studio or crazy filming area with all these lights and cameras. You can do a lot of this stuff with limited equipment as long as you know how to use it. I think that's where people have a misconception at.
Right.
So, you look at the movies you've shot and they really look like they have high dollar cameras, and a bunch of different angles and people, but really they're done, pretty singular and they're simple, but they're effective.
Yeah.
So,
and there's things that you can't get away with. Like, if I don't have money, I can't blow somebody up or blow a car up, without making it look cheesy. I can do it, but it's still going to look cheesy within our means.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's something that I think a lot of people who are trying to do a low budget film don't really think about. I mean, when you look, because my sister and my brother both worked in Hollywood for different studios and did stuff in different capacities. And I know my sister specifically did screenwriting, and she learned very early on unfortunately, she had a contract and did sitcoms, but she would write a sitcom and she would bring it back, and she worked for the evil Disney empire. She worked for ABC and Buena Vista and all this stuff. But she would bring a screenplay back and the producers would say, "You have two locations too many." And she never thought about it because it's a sitcom. We're building sets. Like, yeah, you have to cut all that's those money. Scenes that's that money. Took place yeah. in a grocery store. Yeah. We're not fucking building a grocery store for yeah. these, like, yeah. no. So, and it's like, I even...
They happen in the kitchen now.
Right, exactly. You know, like, we just changed it to a set that's already built. And it's like, yeah. I forget the actor's name. He was in Reno 911. He played Dangle, the main cop who always wears short shorts. I saw an interview with him a couple of years ago, and apparently he's the highest paid screenwriter in the history of screenwriting.
Dang.
Not because he's written some major blockbuster, but and he even talked about this. He said, I write simple comedies that are predictable, and I keep in mind as I'm writing it, how many people are in it. There's no fucking car chase.
Yeah.
There's only, so when a producer reads it, they're like, oh, I only need to build two sets. I can film these outside in 6 days. Like, he keeps everything in mind of the production schedule.
Money.
So every producer that looks at one of his screenplays, they don't think it's going to be the next, you know, Avatar, but they're like, this is going to be cheap as hell to make because he knew what he was doing. And then they film it and he makes a shitload of money.
And that's how you've got to do it as an indie filmmaker too. Right. And that's what I like about Robert Rodriguez, and that's why he's a huge, I'm a huge Robert Rodriguez fan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about writing within your means. If you're gonna write a movie that's a sci-fi movie and you're gonna, you have, you know, a $20 budget and two of your friends and you don't know anybody else, you're not gonna write a space station in your thing and try to pull it off. You know,
well,
you're gonna do it in the bedroom.
Could.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, and you could shoot it on an iPhone. I hate when people are like, I shot this movie on an iPhone. I'm like, well, unless it's, you know, like played on TV or something, is if you're uploading into Facebook or YouTube and you're bragging that you shot it on an iPhone and it still looks like shit, stop bragging. You shot it on your phone. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, I'm totally there with you. That's what we had to do with a lot of things. That's why Naked Zombie Girl takes place, you know, in the middle of nowhere. Me and my friend Josh, we actually built the set that she goes into, that shack. We built it. It was a stage set.
Oh, wow.
So all the inner shots of Naked Zombie Girl when she's cutting off all those arms, that was actually filmed in front of my apartment at about 11 o'clock at night. So, well, yeah, the neighbors
people looking
me
out the window.
Yeah, it was, when she's butt naked and you've got people dressed up and you have a chainsaw that's loud as hell, you know, and it's echoing through the apartments, you know, and our apartments are kind of set up weird, but wow, you know, people came out and looked, you know, and you see, you know,
like, get back inside.
Right.
They're like, oh shit.
Yeah. Well,
the cop showed up. You're like, this is great. We got real cops.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, film them, guys, because we need this.
They're really
asking them. Yeah. Start asking them questions. Like, what are you doing here? Yeah.
They really punched my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then they arrested Megan. That would be awkward. She's butt-ass naked and gets arrested.
Yeah, so, no, that's amazing what you can do. I know I went to Universal Studios and they recorded the old Tarzan thing in like 30-foot by 30-foot little group of trees.
Yeah.
You just like swing across and land, and then they move the camera, he swings across and lands or whatever.
It's definitely... You have to think movie magic, and I think I have to tell this to a lot of filmmakers because I actually have a little website called the Indie Film Group. And it's basically a place to help indie filmmakers and promote indie filmmakers.
Right.
You don't say.
Yeah, it's called the Indie Film Group. Check
That's
it out.
Cool.
Indiefilmgroup.com. There's actually a group on Facebook, Indie Film Group, and then there's a Facebook page. The group has a lot of stuff from, you know, filmmakers all over the world. And it's really interesting. If you're
just tips, tricks, methods.
Tips, like, tricks. I post things in there. If you join it and you find something online, I recommend you post something on there because it's all about moving forward and making cool shit. So that's the name of the game.
Out.
Yeah. So
I think if I've always had the thing, if you help somebody else, it actually helps you get better.
Yeah.
You know, like, so
I think that's a good
quality to have.
I totally agree with you, Brad. I think that if you donate your time and you actually learn, especially like in this, it's you pay for your college, whether you go to school or you with the filming anyway, you pay for it. So with I'm paying with, you know, sweat, blood and tears and financial because, you know, this shit doesn't. You know, camera. I can't grow a camera. I tried, but
just use your iPhone, man.
I planted it.
Yeah,
just use the iPhone. It's fine.
Yeah, just use iPhone.
I threw my 7D away and bought an iPhone.
Yeah,
I know you guys had like a helicopter in Border Brothers. Like that's pretty legit.
Yeah, thanks to Steve Wilson. He's a awesome dude. We were actually shooting that part on this property. But that was a thing that I knew a dude with a helicopter, which we actually shot a movie. We shot a documentary for Doug DeBerti, this Race to SEMA thing, and he had all these helicopter shots. Well, then you know, me, I was like, dude, this guy's a helicopter. First time in a helicopter, I'm filming out of it. But it was amazing. So when we were riding Border Brothers, I was like, dude, we should see if Steve will fly DT in the helicopter, you know, because he's supposed to be like this thug or whatever. And he's like, yeah, I'll do it. So we just paid for his gas, basically, which is really expensive.
That's legit.
When I was like, yeah, I'll just give you gas money, I'm thinking like 20 bucks. Well, for a helicopter, it's about 500. Oof. But you
wow,
know,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah, damn. It's not cheap.
Why do you think they're weighing people to get on planes now? They're like, yeah, all right, fat people, you're throwing in some extra change.
Do they really they weigh people?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Whoa.
Just like luggage. Luggage, they've always weighed luggage. So if your luggage is over a certain amount, you know, they, you know, it can go on board or, you know, below.
Well, no,
or
not in the 90s. In the 90s, they didn't weigh that. In the 90s, no one cared. I like the 90s.
A poodle, poodle and a duffel bag and a unicycle.
Yeah, if you notice, if you fly a lot and stuff, like sometimes your luggage will come in on a different plane.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's they trippy. Separate everything.
Right.
So when is Border Brothers coming out, man? It feels to me like a long time
it's
coming.
It's been forever. Yeah. We're working right now with Jason. We're going to – it's basically in the final stages. It should be out this year. We're going to show two, like, exclusive clips at this Mabel premiere on Sunday. But basically, we're just getting it color corrected, sound fixed, stuff like that. Like, basically polishing it up.
Am I in the clip? Because I am in the movie for about four seconds.
Yeah. Yep.
You slap. Damn, that was a fucking shameless plug.
Yeah.
Hey. I'm in the movie, guys.
For four seconds. And I'm
you usually
super
don't
fat.
Brag about it. You're supposed to lie. Say, like, I was in there for at least 10 minutes.
I'm scared about it because
I weighed
like almost 280 pounds when you guys filmed that shit. Like, on a whim, Brian or someone was like, we need a dude with a beard and a black shirt that looks mean. And I was like, I look chubby. I'll come.
I look chubby at best.
Yeah. I'll make a mad face and chew my gum too much.
Just tell everybody it was a fat suit. Like, man, look how fat they made me look.
Well, special it was effects. Really good. Brad actually helped light the scene because he's so white. When he stepped over there, it was like having a white balance between me and Brad.
He's calling me Brad, so he's talking shit on you on accident. Yeah, I should let that go.
Me and Brett, sorry.
I was like, damn. No, who's this Brad?
Me and Brett were the whitest guys.
Still
there.
Messing it up. It's Brent.
With
sorry.
Name.
Sorry. I saw what you had for breakfast. We won't say it out loud. But you breathed out your breakfast.
Yeah. He's dying. He's like, I only know you for 20 years. What's your name?
Where am I? What were we just talking about?
Dude, my best friend since childhood's mom, like 15 years into the game, one day was like, she gave me a birthday card and it said Brett. And I was like, what the hell? She's known me for like 15 years.
It's just a name.
No, what's messed up is I was looking for you on Facebook whenever did I send you that Save the Water video that I did?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So the first time I went to attempt to do it, I was looking for Brett.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Brett, what? I'm like, SWAT PC. Like, where is this guy at? You know, sorry. I wasn't supposed to say that.
That's okay.
promo. That's all right. Yeah. Anyone who listens to this doesn't care. It's fine. They'll still get their computer fixed.
We were just on the last. Did we air that episode? Even know what we talk about anymore. We were talking about Brent rubbing, you know, his junk on the computers after he fixes them. And
that
stuff,
was on the radio.
Know? Oh, it was.
You didn't edit that. Yeah. I know. I listened to it and I was like, oh, God, he edited cuss words, but he didn't edit that story.
That's not bad. I thought it was pretty clean.
No, I thought it was clean.
That's clean comedy.
Yeah.
Computer
humping.
That's
on computers.
Yeah.
No, but it's going to come out probably by the end of this year. Nice. I'm hoping that we'll get it out sooner than later. We're actually in this next 2 weeks, right after the Mabel premiere, we're going to be getting some meetings together, walking over some, you know, final stages stuff. Then we're going to show a screener of it, get notes from other people, like what they thought was funny, what they think is stupid. And then
Do you re-edit it at that point, or is that just to find? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Kind of like a director's uncut.
Well, I mean, When other people are watching that don't know the story, I feel like it's more beneficial. There are the stupid things like, oh, well, there shouldn't have been this scene in there. Well, obviously, we can't go back and, you know. But like real creative criticism. Like, I have all my filmmaker buddies or, you know, Because you got to remember, too, making a film is not just me. It's, you know, a shit ton of people, you know. So there's I mean, from even ideas about what the clothes are wearing, it's discussed with somebody else.
Well, you might get something, too, that you thought was, like, funnier, but it's like an inside joke.
Exactly.
And then and everyone's like, translate. It doesn't work. Yeah.
And then, like, with our Home Free movie, we did this where we tried, like, it was an experimentation where we tried all this different type of comedy where it's, like, nut slap comedy, you know, sarcastic comedy, really, like, over-the-top comedy. And we did like all these different variations and watching some of the clips with some people, it was funny because you could tell their personality by what jokes they were getting and laughing
that's
at.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? So that was kind of a cool like test that we did, which that movie will probably come out next year, but it'll only be about 45 minutes. It's a homeless mockumentary about homeless people that we got a lot of flack for. So I got scared to put out.
Right.
I shot it in a weekend doing because I used to teach actors.
Right.
So we do all these actor exercises. That I knew. But basically what we did is we shot all day, like we were homeless and we just drove around and like did these stupid ass things or whatever. And then at night I would question them kind of like The Office, like do a little mini interview about what went on that day. And we did that for about 2 days. And then I lost all my cast on Sunday because I had to shoot some commercial.
Yeah.
And I wasn't paying anybody. So.
Right.
So we just like jammed out this whole, we have like tons of footage, you know, but it's pretty funny. But we got shut down by a Home Free because it's called Home Free, which there's a show called Home Free. So I don't know what's going to happen on that either. But I had to copyright Home Free, the movie, because someplace in, I guess there's a Home Free homeless organization in New York. And basically they give homeless people internet and they were like totally blasting me. They got, we had like 2,000 people on the page. They shut it down. No questions asked.
Oh, wow.
It was crazy. And they were like, oh, we're going to do this. You're making fun of our business. And I was like, I just came up with the movie name based off of some of the ideas we're going off of. Yeah. I had no idea you existed. I'm not like Googling your stupid ass.
Right.
And why the hell do homeless people need to check their Facebook? Yeah. They need houses.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's funny because we did an episode on Craigslist, or we talked about Craigslist, and there was homeless people posting on Craigslist, and I'm like, how the fuck are they posting? They're homeless. Yeah. And they
they're bumming money.
Phone.
They're like, hey, we'll work for food. I accept
on Craigslist. Yeah. Yeah, like, hey, I'm just having some bad luck. You know, if somebody can help me out, you know, I don't have a home, and I'm like, how the fuck are you posting this?
I'll be honest, dude. If I go homeless, I'm still having this shit somehow. I'm gonna be plugging it into some telephone pole.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Or you can go to like coffee shop Wi-Fi.
If you already owned your cell phone, as long as, I mean, you can find a power plug on the outside of a building anywhere and
get
go
Wi-Fi.
Sit at a Starbucks and get on your Wi-Fi.
And,
I guess
and people don't have job applications anymore. It's like, oh, you can apply online. You can apply online.
Right.
You
almost have homeless to do that. People applying for jobs.
Yeah, so that's why they're humble.
You are a dick, Ricky. That's messed up, man. Yeah. They just needed to apply online.
Yeah.
That's why. They weren't checking Facebook.
No, on that Home Free website, they specifically said to check their social media and interact
with
society.
That's because they're pumping their shit up.
Fuck yeah, they're trying to make their shit
evil
cool.
Evil corporation.
Hey, they can, those guys in New York, the Home Free guys can suck my dick. I don't care. fuck those guys. They fucking would. Blasted me on the internet, and they were like, oh, you got this, you're making fun of my shit. But it's a fucking joke movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
you're
going to
make someone mad no matter what. Yeah,
yeah. Especially with the Machine Gun Baby. I'm going to piss a lot of
that's
people.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you're
going
to make some people upset.
I'm into that.
With Machine
I like
Gun
that. It's like half abortion.
There's there's 100,000 like Brads somewhere. You're going to, you'll do fine.
I like that you know that this stuff is offensive and that's why you love it.
Well, you got to think about it. I mean, like, and I hate to bring this up, but it was probably one of the most epic movies I've seen in a while, straight out of Compton.
Yeah,
that movie, you know, those guys, I mean, realistically, the FBI really made them more famous than what they were. When they did the Fuck the Police song, they were like all over that song, and they made it a big deal. It's the same thing that happened to Texas Chainsaw Massacre, if you remember.
Yeah.
In all honesty, I like the movie. I like the history in the film. I appreciate it, but honestly, it wasn't something that should have been banned from America. I've seen movies around that same time that were way worse than Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But because these crazy ass, you know, whoever stemmed it as, you know, it's banned from America, what does that do? Shoot up the cells.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's free advertising.
That's what happened to Two Live Crew. Nasty as they want to be. When they came out with Me So Horny, that shit got banned and boom, it blew up.
Well, what was the movie? Oh, the interview with the whole Korea, you know, trying to block Sony and all that
and
stuff.
That movie
That was a whole marketing gimmick.
Yeah. Dude, I actually liked that movie all the way till the end scene where,
yeah,
spoiler, they start chopping off fingers and stuff. I was like, this is weird.
I did like how the baby attacked him.
That was my favorite part. I bet it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they started chopping off fingers, that was when it got funny. But it was really like stupid. I'm like, what? Yeah. This is the dumbest. I don't know.
No, yeah. Dude. When they're in the tank playing Katy Perry shooting shit, I thought that was hilarious.
But I don't think James Franco's funny. I think James Franco's a really good actor. And I'm actually going to his movie premiere, which is awesome. We donated it to his movie. We're actually going to go see James Franco.
Nice.
You can't talk shit about James Franco.
Not anymore. You just said you don't like him.
I said he's not a good comedy actor. I think he's a good actor. He listens
to our podcast.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I thought the interview sucked. I thought James Franco sucked in the interview. I think he's good in serious roles.
Yeah, that's good constructive criticism.
Yeah, I don't think he should do comedies. I don't think he's that funny.
Did you say comedies?
Comedies.
Brad.
I don't think he should do those. But but yeah, he's
those are porn comedies.
Killing the flow here.
I don't even know. Are you guys even fucking talking? Because I'm just talking to myself. I'm tired of you guys. I'm gonna start my own podcast.
So next up, Mabel, right? You guys are getting ready to sell tickets for that, or you are selling tickets?
Yeah, we are
for
selling tickets online. If you live in Bakersfield and you don't go, I'm gonna hate you for life.
Is it? It's at the Fox.
No, it's at the theater a couple blocks down, the smaller one that we could afford instead of the Fox.
The Nile?
The Spotlight.
Oh, Spotlight. Oh, no. No, I heard they have a cool spot in there. Yeah.
No, it's really cool. I really like the Spotlight. I'm just joking around.
Yeah. Bob Bender, is he part of that? Yeah.
Yeah, so for those of you listening to the podcast who don't live in our area, we're almost like LA, but not like the shittier, like septic version of LA. So, we're right there close to it, but we're not. So if you want to fly in to watch the premiere, you're welcome to. I'm sure you wouldn't hate
it's gonna
on you
be
for
big.
That.
It's going to be big.
If How you many fly seats are in, in there?
You can have a free ticket. There is 99 seats.
In
there.
Oh, damn. That's pretty big.
So we're doing three showings. We're doing a supporter showing. Well, actually we're doing four showings.
I saw two showings on Facebook.
The two showings on Facebook are the actually paid to the public showings. The first showing is actually a memorial for my friend that passed away earlier this year. So it's going to go to some money to help his family out.
Oh, that's cool.
And then we're doing another showing, which the film is actually dedicated to. Then we're doing a supporter showing because the film was actually an indie film group, crowdfunded film. Even though we didn't hit our goal, we still did it because, anything helps, right?
Yeah.
So we did it. So we're giving a free showing to the people that actually donated. They get to see it for free and hang out and get like red, because there's going to be a red carpet there with photos and everything. And then after that, then we start our paid showings. We're going to do one at 4:30 and one at 6:30. Those tickets are $12 online or $15 at the door. We'd rather buy online because it's easy for us to track to show people are supporting independent film in Bakersfield. But if you don't have a PayPal account or you're weary about buying stuff offline, you can show up with $15 and
at the door.
Yeah, most homeless people have a PayPal account, so no problem.
Shouldn't be a problem. Yeah.
And when is the premiere?
It's August 23rd.
Okay.
So it's coming up.
And that's Mabel.
Mabel, and we have another film in it called As the Man Drives. So you're actually getting a double feature. They're both short films. So we're going to show the film, do a Q&A with the actors and myself and other people that worked on the film. We're going to do a short Q&A after the Mabel. Then we're going to show As the Man Drives is another short film. It's like a crime drama type thing.
I watched some of the Mabel thing. What I'm impressed with is where do you just go get cowboy clothes? Where's that happening at? How do you get the dress stuff?
Well, that's why we needed the Indiegogo campaign, because the costumes, you're looking at about $300 to $400 a person, as far as their costume.
Yeah. Boots are expensive. And I
didn't realize I screwed up on the belts, but the belts that they're wearing in the movies aren't
the period
accuracy or whatever. But everything else is. Those are actually.
They say Bakersfield Rodeo 1996. Somebody donated. Show,
The Kern County Fair Rodeo.
That shit. It looks Mexican legit, man. I mean, that's like Tombstone. I was impressed. Yeah. I was damn, that shit looks legit. You can't just go buy Wranglers and some shit at Work World.
Yeah, that was all handmade by Kelly Henderson.
Damn. Oh wow. Yeah, and you gave us. Dave mentioned the swag you gave us at the beginning. You gave us some movie posters for Mabel, and they're actually old-timey representative of that. Yeah. And that's one of the things, the more and more I look at your films and what you're doing, you're really keeping time periods correct. and you're really trying to, you're not trying to like new age certain stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the cowboy thing. You're not doing some crazy new age poster, yeah. You know? So I think that's cool.
Space bracelets and Timex watches
or aliens, which that movie was awesome. Cowboys aliens. And aliens.
I haven't seen
it.
That.
It was great. I loved it.
So I watched Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Was it any good?
It was kind of funny.
My favorite parts are where they start singing the nerd song to
him.
You're a nerd. You're a fucking nerd.
I think you'll like it. I think it was fun.
I didn't really like the first one.
Well, I forgot about the first one, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on in this movie? And I'm like, oh, they time traveled and made themselves famous. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. you can kind of get that from the trailer. You get that from the trailer.
Now, for future reference, you say spoiler alert before the spoiler.
I'm not a movie buff. I'm sorry.
Okay. Spoiler alert.
Like, podcast alert. I'm going to say something.
We'll just keep saying it. There's a lot of spoilers. Thanks for joining us. There's going to be a lot of spoilers.
We'll say that at the beginning. We're going to spoil everything. She dies.
If you hear us bring up a movie and you haven't seen it, just stop listening.
Yeah.
Or fast forward. Spoiler
alert. Yeah. I'm going to start a whole new podcast called The Spoiler Alert.
Nice.
We just tell all the shit in every movie.
Today we're talking about Titanic.
I thought E.T. dies.
Guess who dies?
We're going to spoil The Passion of the Christ. Titanic. We're spoiling it.
Yeah. Just so you know, Jesus gets crucified.
Yeah. The ship sinks. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
So one thing that I was like, what techniques you use, because I was looking at just different independent film stuff, getting ready for the show, and I saw different numbers, somewhere between 900 and 1500 films get released a year.
Yeah.
And that's sort of an average of everything. So, I mean, the studio films are what? We'll call it 100 of them.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think it's even that much. So, well, I guess count their direct to DVD crap too.
Yeah, because there's a lot of stuff. So
there's
a
lot of market there too.
So that's still the majority of film
is
going to be independent film. And I know it used to cost a couple $1 million because you would have to get a really expensive camera and all.
Yeah.
So I mean, the technology has come down to a point where a lot of people can start making films. And this really struck me because I try to do independent publishing as a novelist. And I know it must be the same kind of thing with film. It's like all of a sudden, how do you cut through the chaff?
Yeah.
How do you, when there's a million piece of shit novels on Amazon and someone looks up sci-fi and there were 50 of them this month, you know, how do I get my novel to rise at the top? Same thing with your films. If there's that many films coming out, like what techniques do you have or what have you done in the past to try to get yours to be the one that's seen? Or the fact that you sold one, I mean, obviously you figured out a way to cut through the chaff.
Yeah.
Like how do you get through the extra 900, you know, independent films, 800 of which fucking suck.
Yeah.
You know, like, how do you do that?
I think I go on the whole field of dreams shit. If you build it, they'll come.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also it's definitely a contact or content factor. If you keep producing content, like say you make your, what I think a lot of people struggle with is they have one film.
Right.
Or, you know, one book, whatever it may be. And they just hang on to that. And it's like a bad relationship. When you need to break away from it and continue to keep doing stuff so you keep learning. And that's why I kind of went back into the short film aspect, because they're easier projects. I can put myself out there like a Western. If I tried to shoot a real Western, it would have cost me a lot of money.
Right.
But to do a short film, it doesn't cost me that much, you know. So, but I can still show people with money, because that's the whole thing with
it's your demo.
Yeah, with movies it's all about media. And now that, you know, a 13-year-old has a YouTube account with millions of subscribers, you've got to take all those things into consideration. You can't just come to somebody with a script and an idea anymore. It's not, you know, it's not Sylvester Stallone running around with Rocky anymore. It's, you have to show something. And that's why if you look online, there's a lot of films that get picked up that are short films. For example, there was a really amazing short film. It was funded through Kickstarter. It's called like Every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And they got like 50 G's to shoot it. They shot it in Mexico City. And basically it is just a trippy, amazing sci-fi. It's probably one of the best sci-fi things I've seen since District 9 as far as web-based concerned.
Wow.
They shot it for about 50 G's. They raised on Kickstarter. It took them a couple years. They shot it in like Mexico City and stuff. Looks amazing. It's like 10 minutes long. Definitely need to watch it. But as soon as it came out online, they put Sony Universal, Paramount, all these guys are arguing and fighting over bidding for it.
That's cool.
Who gets the rights?
And that's the same thing that happened into District 9 too.
Yeah, and that's something to mention, what you said right there. It's a 10-minute film, and it took them a couple years
to put it together. And $50,000,
Yeah, so I think that, you know, you're talking about people filming with their iPhones and stuff. That's the fucking difference. Like, you're not doing that with your fucking iPhone.
Well, you know? And what was really bad for me, especially in my career, is we started filming when filming wasn't available to everybody.
Yeah. Right.
And we kind of, once we were going out, we were always like a couple of steps ahead of the average Joe that would get a camera. You know, when we first started doing this shit, we were the only filmmakers in Bakersfield besides two other people that were just, you know, weren't like serious about
independent by themselves kind of deal.
So we struggled a lot at first, you know, trying to put videos online. We had a direct to download. You'd have to download a really small file on our website to watch, which we learned from the whitest kids you ever know. That was how they did their website. You click on the video, download it, and watch it, you know.
Yeah.
But now then you have YouTube. Well, when YouTube came out, then you have all these people that, you know, are like, oh, I'm a filmmaker, you know.
Yeah.
Well, then these other people.
Everybody's a fucking filmmaker.
Yeah. Right. So they try to take it to the next level. So, but what happens is us as a team, we're all growing together, and it's not just one person. I mean, I do a lot of the work, I'm not going to lie, but I do a lot of the work with a lot of other people that, you know, are all talented. Like, I can't do makeup. Nick Reisinger did all the makeup on Naked Zombie Girl. It looks legit. I can do makeup, but I'm like the jack of all trades, good at none.
Yeah.
You know, so like we have that professional show up, like, Nick, that shit looks tits. It looks amazing.
Yeah.
It's just exactly what we want.
Well, you got to know your limitations and what you're doing. Yeah. You say, I can do it, but it's not going to be as good as somebody who just does that.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's what a lot of filmmakers struggle with too, is they'll have a great idea. And then that's what pisses me off with like these bigger directors going to like Comic-Con saying, hey, just shoot your story. Like J.J. Abrams, I think, said it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and I mean, J.J. Abrams is cool. I like him. I think he's a really good director. But it's just, I hate when people tell people that shit, because then they shoot stuff on their iPhone and they're like, or their droid or whatever it may be. And they're like, oh, this is, you know, I'm telling my story. Watch this. And then what happens is then you get to where you think everybody that's an independent filmmaker,
that's what it is.
That's what it is, a shitty phone video. And so it kind of, it harms the community more than helps people. If you're not going to, if you want to be serious about this shit, that's what I tell people that were like, hey, let's get involved. If you want to get serious, do some shit. Put yourself out there and don't act like, you know, we have these guys, you know, I've seen them come and go. They shoot like a one short film and they ride that for the rest of their, you know,
career.
And they're like, oh, well, you know, I'm working on this script and blah, blah. It's like, just shoot shit. No one wants to hear I'm working on a script. You know what I mean? Like,
get some shit done. And
that's like someone telling me, oh, I jacked off this morning. All right, big deal. Let's, you know, move on.
I have to say, like, every time, I mean, twice, but with these guests coming on, that I have a new appreciation for how easy we have it. Like, sometimes I feel like, damn, we got to put all this time in. I got to like convert a video and upload it to YouTube and make an art cover or something. And Dave has to write the show notes and Brad has to edit it and record it. And we have to show up on a Sunday and spend a couple hours. These fools are spending like months and years and on their weekends and they get their job off. And for a 10-minute video or 15-minute video, like I appreciate like your dedication and the effort that goes into your trade. Like, that's insane. I have respect for it, for sure.
Thanks.
Thanks for getting my name right too. Yeah. Thank you.
It's starting to fade away. I might need to take a break.
Yeah. just to go off what Bill was saying.
Thanks, Chuck.
I have that same thing. I don't think, I mean, just fucking an hour before the podcast, you know, thinking about, you know, a smaller film company and what you're doing, you just think, oh yeah, they're putting out some bullshit, you know, movies and, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Some of them are funny. Some of them are cool. I like this one. I like that one. But as you talk about it and you go into it, you're like, wow, that's fucking, you're putting your heart and your fucking soul into something that you love.
So when he was first shaking your hand, he was a real fucking asshole in his head. He was totally judging.
He's like, man, who's this guy? Oh, you make YouTube videos? So does my 12-year-old cousin. This
fucking handy cam guy over here. I'll shake his hand.
Yeah.
Well, what's funny, dude, is now everyone's a filmmaker and everyone thinks, Jason put it best in an interview. My friend that I actually started Hectic Films with, Jason Sanders, Which they do the drive-in here, Cinertain, which you guys should all come. It's amazing. Oh, yeah.
I added on there. Yeah, I did a donation for that. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for supporting that.
That's a soup. Dude, I wanted to do that forever. Yeah. I'm so glad that somebody finally did it. Yeah, I've wanted to do that for a long time.
Yeah, it's the drive-in is amazing. I love it. We volunteer. We help every way we can, you know.
I'm just a get movies huge out active there.
Huge active member in that. But, he said it best when he said, someone asked him an editing question when we were doing a Q&A for Naked Zombie Girl. And he said it best, there's a Google Easy button. He just hits that button and the whole movie comes together. And that's what really people think when you start doing jobs. Yeah. It's just like, they don't realize, like I told him, I go, at best, every minute of video, depending on, and this is just simple video, is at least an hour of editing.
Yeah.
So you've got to think about that. Then you have sound design, which will kill or make or break a film.
Oh, God, yeah.
And it's, you know, all these things are very, very important to where if something like that is fucked up, don't put it out. You know what I mean? Don't put it out there. Don't waste your time.
I have to. Yeah, I was thinking that earlier. I was like, man, you really have like the fortitude and the patience. Like, I'm like, when's Border Brothers coming out? You've had that forever. But like, I would have gotten impatient and been like, yeah, that's good. Put it out on YouTube. Put it out. Get it out there.
Well, yeah, I didn't want to waste everybody's time, and I want everything to be as good as it can be. But when you do things as low budget as us, it takes, you know, because you got to think when you watch a movie, you see a shit ton of credits. Those are all people that are working behind the scenes. Our credits, you know, aren't even.
Well, you have like a minute number compared to that. So it takes that much longer to get the shit done.
So once we hit it big, then we'll be cracking out movies left and right. But, you know, until then, it's kind of like a, you know, labor of love type.
I guess kudos to Marvel for putting sneaky stuff at the end and making everybody sit through the credits. Because I always feel bad. Like, nobody sees that key grip thing. Like, sometimes me and my daughter will play a game where we try to see whose name comes up first.
Yeah.
So we'll watch the credits for that purpose. But you go like, damn, those fools spent 16 months, like, in the mud making this movie or some shit. And then it was all, whoop, there with their name.
I think the credit part is not just for you as a viewer. It's more for the person to work on it to say, hey, friends and family, that was me.
Yeah.
So we used to do the pay the respects, like, you know, respect for the military. As soon as the film shut off, I took my hat off and, you know, put my head down and out of respect for all the people that worked off the film. I'm lying. I didn't really do that.
I was like, whoa. And then you filmed the Machine Gun Baby.
No. Yeah. But I feel like... I feel like the credit section, though, is what it is. If you want to sit there through the credits, sit there through the credits. But I think it's more for, like, if I went and spent time on that film and I'm there with my family, I'd be like, look, motherfuckers, there's my name.
That's me, for real.
Yeah, that's like, me. I was really there. You know,
it's like a closing music.
A lot of people aren't saw on the camera, so you have to have your name there. Yeah. And I think that's what – I think people are – it's not the wall
it's portfolio.
You know, it's not – it's not a memorial. And people treat it like a memorial, and I understand. I respect everybody that works on the film. But I feel like it's definitely more for the people that were involved to tell other people, hey, yes, I was really a part of that film.
Right.
It's cool, too. Like, some movies, I've seen it on comedies, like, I can't name one, but where people are, they show, like, the crew.
Yeah.
You know, at the end, they show a bunch of crew pictures of them, like, eating at the buffet table and screwing around and messing up and dropping the mic and just, you know, funny stuff. And that's kind of cool, too, to give people credit that way.
And they're the most important aspect of it. You know, they're the ones that are actually putting the sweat, you know, the grips, the editors. I mean, you got to think, editing is probably the most important job that no one cares. We're not, like, getting, you know, we know who the directors are. We know Steven Spielberg did Jurassic Park, but who edited that shit? Because that shit was off the chain.
That's the magic.
Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's really who controls you. It's kind of like your wife in a divorce. You know what I'm saying? They got the director by the balls.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So
that's why I respect the hell out of the comedian Louis C.K. because his TV show Louis. He's the executive producer. He writes every episode. He directs every episode. He edits every episode. He does the sound. For every episode, he does the music for every episode, and he's the star of it. I'm just like, holy shit.
Yeah, and he gets kicked off SNL stages. Right.
What did he get kicked off SNL for?
He said a child molester joke.
Oh, fuck.
But it was a good joke. It was good. I got to hand it to him.
Joke he tells is a good joke.
He's a genius. I love him and Amy Schumer, Anthony Jeselnik are my favorites.
Didn't he pioneer the whole like $5, like just $5 you can buy my comedy online thing, and everybody followed suit? Like they would have their comedy specials. Yeah. Cause Joe Rogan talks about him all the time. Give him credit.
He's just a genius. I don't know. He's just so one of those guys that, you know, he and again, a jack of all trades, probably has people in those specific places looking at his script. Cause that's what happens in Hollywood. You know, Louis C.K. is getting all this credit for it, but there's probably a few people behind the scenes are helping out with the script, helping out with the directing, because that's what, when I'm like in As a Man Drives, I act in it, I act in Mabel. So when I'm acting in those films, someone else is directing. You know what I mean? I mean, I still tell them what I want, but they're still working, you know.
You have to trust their eye for what's going on, because and that's what's important. Say-so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched Lazy Fucker. Is that what it's called? Oh, you don't remember your own thing? It's like 8 seconds, but it made me laugh hard. Like, it's you're watching Lazy Fucker, and Brian Ross turns on a TV, and it's Brian Ross on TV, like Truman Show, and he's all like looking at the TV, waving. And he's just like, "Damn it!" And it turns off. 8 seconds, and I laughed
Brian
my ass
actually
off.
Came out of that,
but that probably took a long time to make, though. It was like 8 seconds on the thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was more. That was just like you have those things, especially with web videos, that are just good ideas,
right?
And they're real easy. Like we've been doing these Save the Water videos that I think are hilarious. People have been getting kind of like kind of crazy because it's a black guy punking people to save water, but I think it's funny. It's kind of like, I don't know if you ever were old internet people and went on Newgrounds back in like 2001 2002. There's a website called Newgrounds, and they had this big black guy named Ben alarm system for your car, and it was this cartoon. It was the most, it was the funniest thing on the internet at the time, but basically, it was an infomercial about buying a big black guy named Ben to set by your car. And when someone would walk up to the car, he goes, "Step away from the car, motherfucker." And then there's like a lady, like a white lady driving. She's all nerdy, you know, like her voice. It's obviously a cartoon, but she's like, "Oh, I love my big black guy named Ben." You know, and it's just like hilarious. I mean, it was like Dave Chappelle before Dave Chappelle. And I thought it was hilarious. So we kind of, it was kind of like a mix between that and then the Tyrone stuff where he's like, "I'm here to fuck your wife," or whatever, the Vine videos. And we were like, we need to do something about that that actually helps out, you know? So we wanted to do something that jokingly makes you save water. So it's like, someone's going to remember that, even if it pisses them off or makes them laugh, they're going to remember that
stick in their head.
When they turn the sink on, they're brushing their teeth, they're going to think of my friend Terry getting bitch slapped by a 6'5" black guy.
For wasting water.
Yeah. Saying, "Save water, motherfucker."
I'm going to have to watch. Does he just like appear like Mr. Clean?
Yeah,
or something?
Pretty much. Yeah, it's basically like Mr. Clean. But Lionel Washington plays, his name's Shark, and there's 3 episodes right now, and he's amazing. He's actually a great talent. He's a good actor. I mean, that guy, it's hard. People don't understand that when you're acting, you also have to think about camera placement, your positioning on a camera.
We have to do that here.
So basically, when, you know, if he doesn't look the right way, it won't be as funny. It won't read on camera. There's certain things you have to think about. And he took directions so well, which I feel like is very important. If someone's trying to be an actor, think about, start watching movies and see how other people are acting in scenes. Watch the behind the scene video and see how awkward it is when you're, you know, there, it's some random dude. It's not even the real actor, and you've got a camera in your face. You know what I mean?
No, man. Comedic timing is such a thing. Like, some people have it, some people don't. Like, my kids are funny as shit. And it's a weird thing. Like, if your friend makes a joke 2 seconds too late, like, you're going to call him out on it. Like, you're going to be like, what was that? That's a comeback that was like fucking 5 seconds. You can't come back 5 seconds later. That shit wasn't quick enough.
I like awkward comedy. That's my favorite thing.
But even when you talk about that, just the idea of a film and you have to say these lines and there's a camera in front of you and a sweaty dude with a microphone and like a whole crew standing on the other side of this illusory wall that doesn't exist. And every time when I watch like really good actors on TV or a movie or whatever, I mean, when you see them do a scene, they filmed that scene. How many times?
Yeah, and it could be over a course of a few days. Right. You know, they could be like, "Oh, we're getting pickup shots of your close-ups." So they have to, the actor actually has to then get in the mood because the film's not filmed chronological. It's always filming what will be the cheapest. That's how people make movies. Right. Screw the whole idea of let's make it to where the actors pull the best ass performance, which I think a lot of there are some directors that do it that way. But the main majority name of the game is, you know, like you were saying, limit locations, limit time. So if you have two interactions at this one house, you're going to, you know, in their different place scenes. Movies, you do both scenes right there in that day. So, you know, it could be like when we shot that 24-hour movie, for example, I'm up the whole 24 hours, and then I've got to think about, which my acting was pretty shitty in that movie, I'm not going to lie. So, but you know, it's the elements, you know what I mean? So from 1 second we're shooting, I'm covered in blood running down the stairs. Then the next minute we're shooting a scene where I'm, you know, just got to the house and I'm like having to, you know, it all kind of gets blurry after about hour 15.
Right.
You get the idea.
And then, and you see a scene where someone like starts by just having a regular conversation. And then in the middle, they think of their dead father and then they start crying and then they have a breakdown.
Yeah.
And it's like, you had to have a breakdown like 40 times. Staring at a camera and a sweaty grip operator, and you have a stomach full of craft food.
And then it's
table.
Already awkward, and then you've got to act, so you're putting yourself out there. Yeah, and that's where the true bravery, you know, that's when you got to be, you know.
Yeah, I never realized they did things out of order like that. I was watching the behind the scenes on Boondock Saints a long time ago, and I was like, that's weird. They filmed like this bar scene like towards the end of the movie first.
Yeah, they don't fly to Toronto twice. Go back and forth.
You just don't, as a normal person, you don't think about that stuff. But I was like, damn, they already had to be like, they had bonded. They were already knew each other and they're laughing and joking. And then they had just met, like, you know, they had not done that before. They didn't really have that shootout scene earlier. Like, that's weird.
Well, and that's a great did you see those scenes in the Overnight documentary?
Yeah, that's the one where he's holding the camera to his head or whatever. Yeah. It's
he basically shoots himself in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah, with his own movie.
And he gets banned, by what's the big
Harvey
wig?
Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, pisses off Harvey Weinstein. Right. Fucking.
Man, I mean, like the one guy you don't want to piss off. And then gets blacklisted. And then tries to come back with Boondock Saints 2, which I'll tell you right now, I sit through the stupidest movies ever. You know, I'm always, if I start watching it, I watch it because you never know. I learn. It's about studying for me because I can't read that good. That's a lie. But I like watching movies, and that's how I study.
Don't lie to us.
Yeah, I can't read. What does that say?
I talk about it all the time.
Test.
We have a reading test here after the show.
But that movie, this first like 10 minutes, I had to turn it off. It was so stupid.
I'll tell you what, I'm a huge Boondock Saints fan. Part two, man, the first 10 minutes was rough. They were wearing, like, they're supposed to be hiding out in Ireland for I don't know how long, and they should have been like all fucking dirty and shit, but they were wearing like white, elaborately like monogram sweaters from Kohl's.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, you don't look like you're hiding out. You got some nice clean sweater.
And you got a thing, dude. I forget the director's name now. He's wearing overalls and a pink shirt in his cameo in the movie. I'm like, come on. I just think what happens is the same thing that happened to George Lucas and with art, especially with film. A lot of people aren't willing to take risks, and you can see that in Hollywood all the time. That's why they're rebooting shit constantly, because they don't want to take a risk. They're a bunch of pussies that want to make money. So
you're gonna go watch Transformers 14 then.
So, but you're just like the nostalgic factor. But with Boondock Saints is the same thing that happened to Star Wars. They say, oh well, we think it sucks, but the fans will probably like it, and they just let them do whatever, and they don't critique it as they did in the first one, where they're saying this, because I'll admit, I come out with an idea and they're like, that shit sucks. Then I start thinking of how to make it cool, you know, and then they're like, it still sucks. I either shelf it or work on it again, you know, and it's just a process you have to go through. And
it's
I think what
you want to waste your time on, basically.
Yeah.
Well, the rest of the movie was honestly not as horrible as, I mean, it's hard because you go into it with such high hopes and such expectations.
The first movie is so good. I mean,
they filmed that in 32 days or something, you know, with like, I don't remember how much money, like 50 grand or something. It was
It took them 15 years to film the second
one.
They
had a decent amount of money. Yeah, because Troy Duffy got the front from that thing. That's how he's able to sign his band and buy that bar he worked
at. That was
at.
The director?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. You just remembered it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a documentary called Overnight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So he actually gets a big front, but they shot it with a decent budget. I don't think it was anything crazy, but I mean, look at Reservoir Dogs. Reservoir Dogs was shot for, I think, $150,000, right. And Quentin Tarantino got 60 G's, I think, off of it, moved to Amsterdam, wrote Pulp Fiction, and then came back. Because technically he didn't write Reservoir Dogs. That movie was a direct ripoff of this Japanese movie.
That happens a lot with movies. Yeah.
Well, Quentin Tarantino, I love Quentin Tarantino, but that movie, I saw this movie on YouTube and I was like, damn, it's like line for line, scene for scene in some shots. Wow. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Yeah, but you got to do something to get big.
Oh, yeah. And he's totally, you know, doing it right. Yeah. You know, his movies are great.
I found the numbers and I had it backwards in my head. This is horrible. You know what? There's some problems with something happened with Columbine is what happened, why that movie didn't do good. It was supposed to go to the theaters and then the Columbine incident happened. So they pulled it. They spent $6 million making it. And at the box office, it made $30,471.
Dang. Remember they re-released it. When they re-released it? Because he actually got a contract with another company after he got blacklisted that was able to push it out.
Right.
But he didn't get the theatrical release. So they basically what happened is they shot a studio movie, but once it was done, they didn't have that release as a studio movie does. So, you know, in the selected theater crap, well, it probably didn't get in as many theaters as needed.
Well, I know I bought Boondock Saints at Blockbuster on the overstock table, when the new releases would go to sell. That I bought it for $6.99. I think I still have my VHS with the little orange $6.99 sticker.
And then it came out in the theaters, right?
And then it came out. Yeah, I was like, oh, man, this movie's rad. And then it came out and it got all big and people started getting tattoos and it's like on the back of everybody's truck. Yeah.
So this is where you're doing the hipster I saw before it was cool. Yeah. All right.
That's what Brent does. That's what Brett does over there.
That's my one thing.
Good job, Brad.
Yeah. Come on, Billy. What the fuck's wrong with you?
Hey, Jim. What the fuck?
Thanks, Riley.
You look like a Cody. Yeah. I call you Cody with red fucking red hair.
Dick. Red beard. Dick red beard.
They call me Dick Long Shuffle.
Long shot.
It's not. I don't really have a big dick. I'm hung like a fruit bat.
Fruit bat.
Yeah. When have you seen a penis on a fruit bat?
Yeah. Never. I've never really checked their genitals. No, but, I haven't either.
I'm googling it now. Good.
Yeah. So I think I'm not a super huge movie buff. I like certain types of movies. One of my favorite directors that comes to mind is probably Guy Ritchie.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's a real douchebag in real life or not, but
who knows?
Snatch is one of my all time favorite movies.
Well, you'd really like The Lackey then. It's basically our inspiration for The Lackey and it's all shot in Bakersfield and Sandrini's. Yeah, we had a premiere in at the Fox.
I wasn't invited. So
that was legit. Anyway, I saw the limo red carpet.
Well, no, everyone's invited to the premieres. No one shows up really. Yeah.
For the second here, hold on. That's a fruit bat. That's scale. Brent. That dude's looking like he's sporting
holy
it.
Shit, he's got some balls on him.
Yeah. You just looked up bat genitalia.
Yeah, we had to know.
Well, that's on curious. Swole. Look at a normal. That's swole. That's the African American fruit bat.
He just got out of a hot shower.
The shitty Irish fruit bat.
Yeah. Look at the drunk Irish fruit bat. Yeah. Look at that one up. See what
that's really genitals. Weird. I think that's Photoshopped. I don't think that's real.
No.
So Brent just keeps showing us pictures of bats' balls.
If a bat was flying around with a dick like that, man, we'd have issues. Yeah. Batman needs to change his cod piece.
Poor Batman.
I'm hung like a fruit bat.
That's what Batman and Superman are actually fighting over in the new movie.
That's right.
He's got fruit bat dick pics. Superman does. And he shares them.
Scandal.
It's a scandal.
Some shout outs and plugs of the stuff you're doing. The indiefilmgroup.com is the website where you help try to promote.
Yeah, that's if you're an independent filmmaker or you like independent film or you want to be a part of that community, it's an open community deal. You know, there's people that write from New York, all around. They write on the blog. We do movie reviews of independent films, all kinds of stuff just to kind of get the awareness out there. Because you're right, it does get flooded with, you know, a bunch of movies. So, I mean, not all the movies we see are the greatest movies in the world, but, you know, a lot of them have potential to be something great if they have the money behind them. So with that in mind, you know, it's definitely a support group for the community, the indie film group community.
And then what's the website for your main production company?
Hecticfilms.com.
Hecticfilms.
So you can go on hecticfilms.com. And I've got a bunch of pictures from my MySpace of me lifting weights and stuff like that on the website. Actually, there's no video on hecticfilms.com at all. It's just me doing push-ups.
Nice.
And then you can see his fruit bat dick.
Yeah. Your premiere for Mabel is this week, actually, on August
this
23rd.
Weekend. It's a week from
here
today.
Here in Bakersfield.
Yeah.
So,
and it'll also be showing in Texas at the Austin Indie Film Revolution. It actually is up for Best Western.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
The hotel.
And not the hotel. Texas. Yeah.
They're actually putting them up.
We're actually, the film festival's in the Best Western, and we're showing the videos on my friend's DVD player.
Are you flying down there to see it?
No.
Oh, that's too bad, because that's where I was going to see it. So
really?
If you don't see me at the premiere in Bakersfield, that's because, it's because I'm flying to Texas.
Yeah, so how does the Sofa King podcast get the red carpet invite? That's what I want to know.
You guys, $15, sir.
No, you guys just show up. You guys come out to the supporter screening, get your pictures in front of the red carpet, just dress nice. And
I'm gonna put on a suit.
I wear my SWAT shirt everywhere, so yeah. Man, I don't
fucking
have
you are weird.
Can I put a tie on this?
Yeah, put a tie on your SWAT shirt. Yeah,
that's like wearing your own clothing line logo.
That's what I normally do. I just had to wear my Batman shirt because I'm probably gonna fight crime later.
It's the bat thing. They're still sporting the bat wiener.
Show off the bat wiener.
the fruit bat.
So we just get to crash.
I'm gonna make a.
I'm
gonna make shirts that have the Batman symbol and just says fruit in the middle of the bat with a little down arrow.
Fuck.
I'm changing that to my profile picture.
Nice. All right.
You got any Facebook, Twitter? Fucking.
Okay, so all the things you should, if you want to know more about Hectic Films, Facebook.com/Hectic Films. We have a YouTube channel. It's actually YouTube.com/Hectic Films, the number 2. And then if you want to see the Save the Shark or Save Water videos, if you live in California and you're trying to save water and you need some easy motivation, if you just look on the Hectic Films 2 channel, it's right on there. It's Shark Save Water with Shark videos.
Nice.
Those are awesome. Share
them. I'm going to look at those.
And then
Racism's
fun. Our film Mabel and As the Man Drives will be playing on August 23rd. You can buy tickets on our website. There's a little event button on hecticfilms.com. You can check it out there. You can buy tickets there, or you can buy tickets on Ticket Leap. Or if you just want to... it'll be available online hopefully in a few months. So if you can't make the premiere and you would like to, you would still want to help us out. We basically put our films up there. We try not to charge too much, but that way we have some more money coming in to make more projects. Cause that's, that's the
support,
whole deal.
Support.
But we're on Facebook, YouTube, the website. We also have another horror based website called The Horror Grip, which is all horror, like the horror community. That's still kind of growing, but if you like horror, that's a great page to like. Right. And then also we're going to be doing a convention, the Heroes and Horror Con. We're going to be showing some films there as well. So if you guys can make that, that's in Bakersfield at the Marriott. We're actually a sponsor for that.
Oh, cool.
There's going to be a lot of cool celebrities there.
What's the date on that?
I don't remember the date. It's on Facebook, Heroes and Horror Con. They need more people on their Facebook because it's a great event. So go like them on Facebook. Heroes and Horror Con is the name of it.
All right.
And there's links to that on our Facebook page.
I love horror movies.
Do you want to talk about Audible, Brent? You do a good job.
Okay. You can help us out. We get some money. You get a free book. You get a free month. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/SofaKingPodcast, and you can sign up for a trial on there. And it's a pretty cool deal, like I said, except for I'm going to say this again. I'm still in chapter 22. I've fallen off. I need to get back on there and finish that. But I never would have gotten that far if I hadn't been able to just pipe that shit in my ears while I'm doing yard work. So audibletrial.com/SofaKingPodcast, and we get love and you get free stuff. So check that out.
Well, and if you want to do maybe the first 10 people, I'll send you a copy of Naked Zombie Girl, and they can have a downloaded copy of Naked Zombie Girl for free.
There you go.
Yeah, so you get to see Naked Zombie Girl. Spread the love. Please don't share the link download, but watch it. And if you hate it,
don't tell us about it. When
well,
we
tell
that.
Yeah,
we won't hear none.
Tell
of that.
Jason Sanders. Yeah, he's actually the director.
And then thank you, Red Ridge Beard Co. And go to Amazon and buy Chama, New Mexico, a 6-paradigm novel by David J. Moten. Is that J again? I always forget.
Jehoshaphat.
Jehoshaphat. I don't remember
Is
that.
Is it really?
No.
I was going to say, you're fucking what?
He said amazing. It last week.
It's actually
I could never
Jesus.
Yeah.
So.
And Digital Creations always for our swag, for the coffee cup we're about to give Ricky, and for every other crazy thing that they make us down there.
Yep.
Thank you.
And we're going to start selling some merch online. If anybody's interested in wearing some Sofa King podcast bullshit.
Yep. Trying to get posters, shirts, we'll get mugs. That shit going.
And so you can visit us on our website, www.com. And get that there. Get all the
latest www.com.
www.com.
It's a our site. Website. I checked
oh, really?
It. It is a site. Yeah.
Dang.
No, I'm just kidding.
We got that shit. No one thought of it.
Yeah. So, yeah. So,
hey, did you have a time machine?
That's what you guys get for assuming internet.
Yeah. SofaKingPodcast.com. We are at SofaKingPodcast on everything. And we come up. So, and if you get a chance, listen to us on Savage Radio. If you're in the area, Bakersfield area, 89.7 FM, Savage Radio, KSVG. We are on there Thursdays, starting at 5.
Yes.
And it goes to 6 o'clock. So if you're on a commute or whatever, there's probably a wreck in front of you. You can stop and listen.
You drive down Rosedale Highway, you can hear the whole hour.
Yep. So, might be able to hear Dave talk about your mom or something. Yep. No, not on the radio. We can be. Yeah.
He gets to talk about your mom.
Oh, it'll be a pleasant conversation.
Your mom might be good at clipping coupons or something.
Making quilts. And
something real nice. Yeah. She's good at math.
Yeah. Or fucking her, you know?
Yeah. Whoa. That got weird real quick. Wait, I thought I recognized you.
Mom? Your picture's on the nightstand. Yeah.
Hold on a minute.
You
Dad?
Look just like my
you?
Brother. Yeah. Are you selling milk in the 80s?
Dave was a mailman.
Mailman? Yeah.
No. So, no? No. Mail's not vegan.
That's right.
All right, everybody out there, don't be a retard.